We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Chris Myrick from the New York Football Giants going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. He caught the touchdown. That was the final touchdown in that game. Then you saw Brian Daboll say, let's go for two. Saquon Barkley gets the score, and the next thing you know, Tennessee comes down the other end, and they miss that field goal, and the Giants start the year off 1-0, and the Tennessee Titans really save Hickey Sunday, because his Colts, 0-0-1, they tied up against the Houston Texans, and now Hickey is just being such a typical loser. He's predicting a Jaguars win this weekend up against his Indianapolis Colts, and I don't think Hickey even believes that prediction.
23-16. 23-17.
Colts?
Jags.
What did George pick, your podcast partner, on that he very popular Odyssey podcast?
27-24 Jags. A little higher scoring.
What kind of Colts podcast is this?
An honest one.
I can't get one of the hosts pom-poms to pick the Colts.
We've both seen this story play out too often.
It's the Jaguars!
We've been saying that for the last 8 years.
Yeah, but now I'm saying it.
Again, you were saying that.
Colts are winning.
In January, you were saying, I was saying I was nervous. I picked the Colts to win week 18. I said I was nervous. It's the Jaguars. This team sucks. It's the Jaguars.
What happened?
They got dominated.
That's how I sound?
Yes.
Can you do that impression?
It's the Jaguars. It's the suck.
What did I just be? An Italian mobster that lives on the streets of like Brooklyn or something?
Well, I have a high pitched voice, so I got to, I can't impersonate you just talking normally or even higher pitch.
I will say the dynamic between you and George gets me to laugh on this podcast a lot.
That's what we're going for, I guess. I mean, not really, actually.
You're
indirectly,
so high pitched voice, and George is just such like a deeper voice. Well, calm type of voice.
He balances me out, I guess, just like you.
Well, no one balances each other out in that podcast because you're both taking the Jaguars. The Colts are going to win that game.
I hope they do, but I don't think
Now, I also don't remember how I predicted that to go down. All I remember is that I told you all last year that the Colts weren't going to make the playoffs and that Carson Wentz is a bum.
Oh, I remember you said that all throughout the season, up until week 18. You said they're making the playoffs. It's the Jaguars. You're going to win.
No, I said they're going to miss the playoffs the entire year.
Right. Sorry. That's what I meant to say. Yes. You're not a believer, but week 18, they're going to get in. It's the Jaguars.
I think you got to find the tape.
It's the Jaguars.
I think you got to find the tape.
What are you worried about?
Find the tape.
Worst team in the NFL.
I'm like Roger Clemens. I misremember that conversation.
Trevor Lawrence had a career night, career day.
It was his first year. And the first like 4 or 5 games, he was coached by a dope when it comes to the NFL in Urban Meyer. If you lose, man, fold the franchise.
If they lose.
Fold the franchise. I'm not kidding. Fold the franchise.
The season is over. We both declared it a must win.
Well, hold on.
Okay, maybe
not. You can't say the season's over because you play in a slapdick division.
Well, they do. We both declared it a must win week 2. So if they lose, then
this is a you got to have it. You got to have this game. And you got to cover. You got to cover the 4 points here.
No, just win.
No.
Covering would be great.
You cannot sweat this out
in
the fourth quarter. That's pathetic. Pathetic that both of you two, on a brand new podcast, are picking against the Indianapolis Colts. Against the Jaguars. I get it if it's a great team. This is the Texans and the Jaguars. You're not going to get one win through the first 2 weeks?
The Jaguars in 2020 and 2021 were easily the worst team in the NFL both years. And both years they beat the Colts. And 1 year they beat them around.
Yeah, but this is Nervous Nelly. This is you being a Nervous Nelly fan. Where last year you were so optimistic. Now you're being Nervous Nelly. You're not losing to the Jaguars this
week. I've been saying that for the last like 8 years when it comes to Jacksonville.
The only thing that concerns me, is there's a lot of motivation here for Doug Peterson. Because Doug's going up against his guy, Frank Reich, and a lot of people think Frank Reich was the main reason they won that Super Bowl, not Doug, which was just stupid.
Well, they did already go up against each other a few years ago. It's actually Carson Wentz's first game back off the ACL. They won that game. So maybe that de-incentivizes Doug a little bit. 2018.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
They took Andrew Luck out to throw a Hail Mary with
Jacoby Brissett. I was at the game.
So you know.
Yeah. I thought Luck's career was over. It was amazing how Luck came back that year. Because when they had to take him out because he couldn't throw the Hail Mary, I go, oh, he's shot.
I was so happy Carson Wentz came back that day. I thought it was going to be rusty. Like, this is a big win for the Colts.
Yeah, because they lost to Tampa.
In week 2, yes.
Yeah, they lost to Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick when he was on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then they benched Nick Foles.
After getting booed at halftime of week one in their welcome back after winning the Super Bowl, and it's halftime, and they're getting booed off the field.
That was against the Falcons. Yeah. No, yeah. I do remember that.
So, but yes, I'm nervous.
I will, though. If the Colts lose this weekend up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, I will call for my first coach to be fired in the NFL for this season. You got to fire Frank Reich if they lose to the Jaguars again. It just can't happen. Can't happen.
It can't happen.
That is a...
Cannot happen.
You could still recover the season just because of the product of the division. But that shows me that there's no progress being made with this organization. Especially with an owner who, man, was he livid this offseason.
I wonder if Jim's going to go.
Doesn't he go to all the games?
He does, but after a while, I'm like, you know, you go to Jacksonville how many times in a row? You get
how many
your
times do you want to be a clown at the clown show?
Right, like, you know, I think after last year, I'm too much embarrassed. I say, you know, I'm watching this from home.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So Teddy Bridgewater was in New Orleans with Sean Payton. Sean Payton, I did not hear this. This was on The Herd. He predicted that Teddy Bridgewater will start at some point for the Dolphins. Go ahead.
I think at some point we'll see Tua in Miami. And they played well yesterday with Tua, but Teddy Bridgewater, I've had before, he's an outstanding player. And I think that's one of the unique things this year. I counted eight teams where I believe we're going to see multiple quarterbacks play, not relative to injury, but just a controversy, if you will.
Well, that's the big part, what he just said. If Tua gets hurt, yeah, you go to your backup quarterback. But if they go to Teddy Bridgewater and put Tua on the bench because of performance, then woof. I don't think that Tua's going to get benched for Teddy Bridgewater unless an injury does occur. Stephen Jones has asked if he thinks Dak Prescott is injury prone. This is on the Jones flagship. I mean, the Cowboys flagship, 105.3 The Fan.
No, I think Dak is built to last. I think, you know, obviously those hand injuries with quarterbacks in pockets are tough ones. I don't think he's injury prone and feel like he'll rebound from this. He's a great leader. He'll be out there leading the charge. I know he won't miss anything.
Yeah, the hand injury could happen to anyone. But I do feel like each and every year, now it's different levels of how bad the injuries are. We all know about the gruesome ankle injury that he did suffer. It does seem like Dak gets banged up a lot. You know, maybe not always injured, this time injured, but you wonder how much longer that body's going to last in the NFL with the beating that he's taken. And the offensive line this year, it's a mess. Tom Brady says his body is really hurting at age 45. This on his own podcast, the Let's Go podcast.
There's no margin of error when you're 45. You know, you take hits and you feel every hit. You know, and when you're younger, you have your body's a lot different. And when you're 45, your body changes a lot. So what am I dealing with now? I woke up today going, holy shit, that was a, you know, there was a few hits. And you know, you look at your arm and you got bruises, you got cuts, and you got, you know, the way it is. And you go, okay, how much longer do I want to make this commitment?
Yeah, this is his final year. I've been saying that all throughout the offseason. This is Tom Brady's final year in the NFL. Ryan Fitzpatrick was on the Dan Lebatard show. He believes he was the MF-er that Tom Brady referenced.
I think I still am. I think I still am that guy. It's not like that was going to be an attractive situation for Tom anyway. So I'm not sure what the, you know, why he was so upset about it. But I still to this day believe that I am that mother.
Were you insulted by that?
Yeah, I tried to get my wife to make a few t-shirts so I could wear them around. We were just trying to figure out with all the kids around, which letters to blank out.
It sounds like you're more offended at the thought of you not being the mother than being the mother.
I like it. It's a good nickname.
I think it's clear now that the MF-er was either Fitz or Carr. I thought for a while it was Ryan Tannehill, but it's either going to be Fitz or Carr. Now, they were laughing it up in that interview. Did you hear that interview ended, Ryan?
Yeah, it ended. No.
Oh, you're really plugged in.
It was contentious?
Very. Stu Gotts in kind of like a joking way, was doing what Stu Gatz does, if you get that show. There was, I guess, a caller to 106.7 The Fan in D.C., you know, in the Odyssey family, that last year said the hip injury was the second time he injured the hip. He heard that he got a hip injury on a water slide at a water park. And I guess that kind of created a firestorm in D.C. last year. So Stu Gatz asked him about it. Fitzpatrick was not happy about the question. He was like, I don't even understand why you guys would give credence to this story. And then Dan, to try to lighten the mood in the room, and he was dressed up as, like, I think it was Kane. So it looks so ridiculous. It's so funny. Dan Levitard goes, well, what is your preference? Like, how do you go down a water slide? Feet first, head first? And he goes, guys, let's move on. He was not happy. And then they start ripping Stu Gatz. That's the line. This was a guy that was wearing no shirt in Buffalo at the playoff game last year. And that's the line. And it ended really, really, really awkwardly.
I did see a reporter tweet about something like with the water slide, saying there's no credence to it, but I had no idea the context. That's fascinating.
It was brought up in the Dan Levitard show. Which is funny because you hear that Fitzpatrick audio early.
Having a good time.
And they're laughing it up, talking about the MF-er, and then at the end, Fitzpatrick wanted to MF those guys. Mike Tomlin on why he was impressed with rookie Jaylen Warren's debut.
You know, he didn't urinate down his leg, and that's a great place to begin. You know? And that's capable of happening for a young guy. And so, but I think that's been indicative of him throughout this process. And that's why he's gone from being an undrafted guy to a guy that's carving a role out.
I think that's how we should judge new people here at CBS Sports Radio. First time they do like a board shift or an update shift and they have no prior experience here at CBS Sports Radio, if they didn't urinate down their leg, then we'll give them another try at it.
Pants check.
I don't know. I don't want to go to HR or anything like that when you put it into those terms. Lamar Jackson is fed up with questions about his contract negotiations.
No, respectfully, I'm really done talking about it. You know, I told you guys before, you know, I was going to be done with it. You know, week one's over with. We're done talking about it, you know. I'm going to focus on the Dolphins now.
Are you able to explain why the guaranteed money was so important to you?
I might give you some popcorn for that question. It was over with. You might have to get the shape. And it was off limits. Nah, but like I said, you know, I'm not talking about that respectfully. You know, Dolphin time, man.
Well, my apologies if it's also another dumb question, but was the NFLPA input that you got meaningful to you?
Oh, my God. You apologized already. You did apologize, but we're talking about the Dolphins today.
Yeah, if I'm Lamar Jackson, that's how you kind of handle it the rest of the way. Just make fun of the reporters anytime they ask a contract question. I know they have a job to do. I know that's a big topic of conversation. They're not going to get a deal done. I don't think they're going to talk in season. So if you don't get a deal done, you just got to kind of nip it in the bud and go, we'll handle it in the offseason. We're focused on the Dolphins. That's what you got to do. Russell Wilson says he still stands by Nathaniel Hackett's decision to kick the field goal.
Anytime you get the chance to try to, you know, win the game and solidify it and try to make a play, you know, I always believe in having the ball, you know, and everything else. But also, we got a great kicker. We're going to believe in our kicker again. So I always trust his decisions and everything else. But I'm also always ready to go try to do it if we need to.
And Russell Wilson once again made it clear that he wanted to go for it on fourth down.
I was at the line of scrimmage ready to go for it, too. You know, I was calling a play, and we were ready to go. But, you know, that's what we decided, and we went with it, you know. And we missed by, I don't know, yard, maybe. Maybe half a yard, so it was close.
This is not Mitch Trubisky. This is not Jameis Winston. This is Russell freaking Wilson. And that's why I said yesterday over and over and over again, if you wanted to go for it, you walk over to the sideline when all that chaos is going down. Timeout, right to the official. Hey, coach, you're a rookie. Shut the bleep up. We're going for this here. I don't know what the heck you're doing. Let's rethink this. Russell Wilson, though, did not do that. He wanted to go for it, but he let all that clock tick down. Tick, 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 tick. Call a timeout. You're a great quarterback. You're a veteran. You're the face of that organization. I know everyone wants to bash Nathaniel Hackett. That's obvious. Russell Wilson. You got to make sure you get what you want in that spot. So that leads me to this Richard Sherman audio. Richard Sherman says Russell Wilson doesn't have the power to call timeout on fourth down. This courtesy of the volume.
They didn't even give him the cheers that I thought they would give him, Mitch. They booed him from the beginning. But he still threw for 340. He was moving the ball, but fourth and five, game on the line, in Seattle. Hey, they could have put it in his hands. And then who you got to blame? But the timeout. There was the Monday night telecast, and you can see Peyton Manning saying, timeout, timeout. You know the difference between Russell and Peyton Manning? Russell does not have the power to call that timeout without the sideline. Peyton Manning can call that timeout without the sideline. He's the coach on the field. He has that kind of respect. Peyton, timeout. We need to talk about this. Drew Brees, timeout. We need to talk about this. I can keep Mahomes, timeout. We need to talk about this. The list is going on. Certain quarterbacks, you blame the coach. Certain quarterbacks, you blame the quarterback.
Right.
And if that was any of those guys, you're not talking about the coach. You're talking about, why didn't Peyton just call timeout right there?
It's a fascinating comment by Richard Sherman. Now, I'm saying, why didn't Russell Wilson just call the timeout? But I got to think he has the power to call the timeout there if he wanted to. He just didn't. Who are people going to side with? Russell Wilson or Nathaniel Hackett? People are going to side with Russell Wilson. That's on Russ. Russ has to call the timeout. Russ has to be. We talk about checks and balances on this show. Russ needs to be one of the three branches, the executive branch, let's just say, and overrule the other two branches. That's what he needed to do, and he failed to do so. That's a news brief. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Chris Myrick from the New York Football Giants joins us next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Giants come back and win. They were aggressive. They go for two following that Chris Myrick touchdown. Saquon Barkley muscled his way in. And then you had a missed field goal. Giants upset the Tennessee Titans in week one. And now joining us is a Temple Owl. Someone that went to my alma mater, was a walk-on, then got a scholarship. It's a heck of a story. And he caught that big touchdown on Sunday. And that's Chris Myrick. Chris, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, Zach. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and congratulations on the win. Take me through that touchdown. We just played you the audio. Take me through how you processed the touchdown.
Yeah, man. I mean, we got down there, had a pretty nice drive. We did a great job running the ball that drive, and I think we stuck two of the same runs in back-to-back right before that play and kind of gave a similar look to the defense. And, you know, they bid on it, and it made it nice and easy for me to, you know, bust open free.
Now, when you score the touchdown, I'm thinking to myself, okay, they should go for two. You got a new coach. You got a team that there's not a lot of big expectations this year. Why not? Take me through you guys beating the huddle when Daboll puts up the two fingers and then gives you the play call that they're going for two.
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to be aggressive. I don't think anyone was caught off guard or surprised that we went for two. I think as a team, I would guess that everyone would want to do the same. It's just the next play, a chance to go ahead and take that lead and get our first win. So it was great.
What did Saquon Barkley show you in that game? Because there's been a lot of doubts on what Saquon Barkley could be after the high expectations, and he was unbelievable on Sunday.
Yeah, he played great. I mean, he didn't show us anything new that we haven't seen all camp, all off season. Everyone was happy for him, you know, for all that hard work to pay off, but we see that every day in practice. We know he's an explosive guy, a big home run hitter, and he can break some tackles, make people miss, and just be effective all around.
Chris Myrick here with us, had the big touchdown up against the Tennessee Titans as the Giants get a week one victory. What does it say about your football team? You guys were down 13-0, and you guys find a way to come on back against a team that last year was the number one seed in the AFC. What does that say about the New York Giants this year?
Yeah, we're not going to quit, you know. Everyone is going to fight together. We're going to play a complete game. We're going to fight for 60 minutes pretty much. That's what it boils down to. Credit to the defense for holding them in that second half and really putting us in a good position in the first half. We gave up a couple short fields. They really bend and didn't break, and that really gave us a chance to come back in that game.
What have been your impressions so far of Brian Daboll?
I like him a lot. Obviously, like his aggressiveness. He's always going to be aggressive, and that's good. Good, as I think everyone agrees that that's how we want to play. We're going to fight. We have that kind of mentality as a team. So it's good that he matches that.
Also, I didn't know he was that good of a dancer in the post game.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. He likes to play a little music before every team meeting, so he's got a big variety of music going on.
Yeah, a lot of music you like.
What's that?
A lot of music you like that he plays?
Yeah, I mean, he'll play anything from some old school hip hop to some new stuff, some country sometimes. We'll sprinkle in there, but he keeps it pretty balanced.
Yeah, take me through the scene in that locker room after the game, Chris Myrick.
I'm sure you guys saw it. I mean, that was pretty much it. That video summed it up. Everyone was having a good time. We were excited about the win.
So you get the touchdown. Saquon gets the two-point conversion. Tennessee then is going down the other way, and they're lining up for that game-winning field goal. Tannehill made a heck of a pass. How did you process the missed field goal on the sideline?
Yeah, I mean, we knew there was a chance. It's not over till it's over. They put themselves in a good position to finish it, but every play matters, every snap matters, and we ended up just coming away with it on that one.
How do you explain your story? Because I remember when you got the scholarship and Kevin Nagandi handed you a scholarship at Temple University with your parents there, and they told you that you were going to be a scholarship member. You were someone that was a walk-on, then eventually undrafted, and now I know this isn't your first touchdown in the NFL, but you made a big play on Sunday. Just take me through the origins of your story.
Yeah, that's kind of been a one-day-at-a-time process, honestly. Going from high school, you know, I'm going to decide I want to play college. I don't get the chance to earn a scholarship, but I'm going to take my chance and walk on and kind of take it day by day, step by step, kind of climb the ranks that way, you know, going from walk on to scholarship to undrafted to practice squad to active. So it's kind of just been like a one step at a time kind of journey for me.
And I know you were only with the Bengals last year for a little bit, but you were on their practice squad towards the right end of that Super Bowl run. Just what did you take away from that experience?
That was a great experience to have. I mean, not many guys get the chance to go to a Super Bowl. You realize how rare of a thing it is. I tell people all the time, I remember the night before during the meetings, they went around the room, I think asked anyone to raise their hand if they had been in a Super Bowl before. I think only a few guys had raised their hand, the staff included. And, you know, you're looking around, you're seeing coaches who've been in the league for 30, 40 years, some even like 50 years, and this is their first chance at a Super Bowl. So you kind of realize how great of an opportunity that was, and how blessed I am to be there.
Chris Myrick here with us from the Giants. Just going back to that culture the Bengals have, since you were there for a little bit, Burrow, we all know, is unbelievable. Ja'Marr Chase is a great player. Just can you speak a little bit to the culture and what they're building there in Cincinnati?
Yeah, they definitely had a great player-led culture, I would say. It kind of seemed as though I was only there for about 6 weeks, but you could tell that all the players would kind of come together and, you know, say this is how we need to do things. Obviously, the coaches played a part in that, but it seemed as though they really accepted that and kind of led things themselves, and that was good to see.
But your quarterback, Daniel Jones, your impression so far being around Daniel Jones and what you think he could accomplish this year?
Yeah, I think you saw it on Sunday. He's a great leader. He's gonna be the same guy in the huddle, no matter what happened the previous play or what the situation is. You know what you're gonna get from him. He's gonna be calm, cool, and confident, and he's gonna put us in the right direction to win games. So everyone's behind him. Everyone's supporting him, and I think he's on the right track.
This weekend, after a victory, you guys do have the Carolina Panthers at MetLife Stadium. Early impressions so far in that Panthers defense?
Yeah, early impressions, I would say they're very fast. It seems like their speed is a major role in their defense. So we're going to, you know, take that into account and figure out how we want to attack that.
Well, congratulations. It was a heck of a weekend. Last weekend in the NFL to kick things off. Great to have football back. Good to see you score a touchdown, you being a Temple guy. And what an ending to a game. So thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it.
There's Chris Myrick from the New York Giants joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We will come on back. And when we do return, we got to get in Take 5. It is a Take 5 Wednesday. I'll give you my top 5 teams in college football, my top 5 teams in the NFL after week 1 of the NFL season. Now we've had a few weeks of the college football season before.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. A little Springsteen bringing us back. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So I told you, hot take Hickey, I'm taking off on a Tuesday night, April 11th, as I'm going to see Bruce and the E Street Band play at the UBS Arena on Long Island. I have a little dilemma here, though. April 1st, that's a Saturday night. Bruce is playing with the E Street Band on the tour at Madison Square Garden. I really want to go to the show at the Garden. Now, I don't have tickets for the show at the Garden. I looked at a side stage view seat. It's the cheapest ticket. All the way at the top of the Garden, which only seats like 18,000 people anyway. How much do you think a face value ticket is? Side stage seat, it's the cheapest ticket available through one of these apps to go see him on that Saturday night at the Garden.
Wait, just face value or secondary market?
Oh, did I say face value?
Yes, secondary market.
Not face value, okay. Secondary market.
I will say $350.
Keep going.
$450.
Keep going.
$500.
Pretty much. $490.
For the cheapest seat to get to Bruce Springsteen in the Garden.
At the Garden, yeah.
Holy.
Now, I call the building on Long Island the flash drive because it's UBS, but I always think it's USB Arena. That I had two tickets there. I think the grand total was like $330 for the two tickets. Oh, it was $290, excuse me, for the two tickets total.
Now, you bought those,
not each.
Not on secondary market. You bought them
that
for
was face
value.
Okay. But still.
Half the price for almost two tickets.
And it's a good seat, too. I know I'm going to pull the trigger on this eventually. Because I really want to go. It's just, at this point, I wonder if it behooves me to just get in on the deal now. If this is not a deal, but just get in on the ticket now. Or wait until like the week of or a week and a half before the show and then hope the price does drop.
Dumb question here. I'm not a huge concert goer. What would make the price between now and April 1st fluctuate? Fluctuate between either go up or go down. Because it's not like it's a team where their performance, oh, they're playing good, I want to see them, so now the
price
rise.
Well, that's why I think it's going to go down, because there's a decent amount of tickets available on the second market. The closer to the event, then people maybe panic and stop trying to price gauge you, and then they'll reduce the cost of the ticket a little bit. That would be my thinking.
It's not like you're going to add someone or like the band's going to get better.
Well, you never know. If some of these tickets do get eaten up and then the demand becomes more, then maybe it does go up. I would think it's more likely to go down. That's why I'm kind of just going to wait until like the month before to see what it is and then make my decision as we get closer.
Because you think the people who truly really want to go already bought their tickets. So it's not like there's going to be this mass.
Or are priced out.
Or are priced out potentially, but that's why you got to keep
almost $500
that's
for
crazy.
For
a
one
ticket,
show.
Right?
And don't get me, it's 4 hours of just mayhem. It's great. Watching Bruce live is unbelievable, but that's a little bit absurd. And it's Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. That's why I want to go, because I've seen Bruce in a ton of places. I've never seen him at the Garden, crazy enough. So
you're going to go. Now it's just a question of when to. I would wait. I think
know
you're
I'm
right.
Go.
I think it's going to only go down. It's not going to go up.
Why do you think I'm working eye on football this year?
Smart investment.
got to be able to afford it somehow. All righty. It is a Take 5 Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show. Right now, I'll give you my top five teams as we currently sit in college football and the NFL. Hit it!
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take 5, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
NFL, week one in the books. We will start in the National Football League. We will have a game tomorrow night. The Chargers and the Chiefs. We'll see if J.C. Jackson's going to play. It's not looking likely. Keenan Allen already ruled out, and this game is on Prime Video. Oh, Hickey, you're not here tomorrow because you're going to Auburn for the Auburn-Penn State game.
Yes, that's right.
I was going to put the onus on you to figure out a way how I could watch Chargers and Chiefs here in the studio. So now EJ, who's filling in for you tomorrow, is going to have that task to figure out how we're going to watch the game?
Well, the wheels are already in motion. Not to brag, but thankfully to yours truly.
Wow, you're not asleep at the wheel.
Who sent an email out to ask what the deal is going to be.
So you just inquired.
Well, said, look, we got to watch the game. Like, me and you can't be sitting here doing a show talking about a game. We have no idea what's going on. And Justin Herbert gets hurt in the first quarter, throws an amazing touchdown pass. We're sitting here in the dark because we can't watch the game.
That's a good point.
We need it for our job, to do our job correctly.
Now, I don't have Amazon Prime. I've said this before. Anytime I need to buy something on Amazon, I call up my brother-in-law and tell my brother-in-law, hey, I want this, buy it, Venmo me it, and then it comes in the mail a few days later. That's just the way that I work. Do I just suck it up and get Amazon Prime?
Or just use his login if he wants to share it with you.
Now, I don't know. Like, for Sunday Ticket, for example, which, by the way, I didn't tell you about my disaster with Sunday Ticket yet this past
week. Oh, you had an issue?
Oh.
Wait, here or yours personally?
Personal.
Oh.
So, I have two TVs in front of me here inside of our studio setup. So the way that we do this, I put the Pats game on the bottom screen because that's a game that I want to watch individually. And then we put Red Zone up.
Okay.
Then I have my iPad so I know what's going on in every other game, and I buy Sunday Ticket. So I have Sunday Ticket on my iPad. First football Sunday of the year. You can put up to 4 games on your screen.
Yes, quad box.
I get the quad box. Really excited to get the quad box going again. It's like we're back. I get a notice that it flashes across my screen. You're either in an NFL stadium or too close to an NFL stadium. So you can't stream any of the games. Now, I'm thinking to myself, I got all the games last year. MetLife Stadium is far enough away that that should not be an issue from a New York City studios. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what's going to be the case each and every Sunday. This is going to suck.
Funny, I also ordered Sunday Ticket this year for the first time.
You had the same problem?
Yes, on my phone. Until I was at brunch, and I got back to my apartment like 1:10.
Whoa, okay. 1:10.
I tried to, on my walk home, try to watch the first drive, and same thing.
Come on, first football Sunday of the year, you got to ditch brunch.
Well, it was my friend's engagement brunch. That was the only reason why I had to go. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone.
Who cares? You'll go to the wedding. Who cares?
But then I got home and worked on my TV, and it worked on my computer.
You skipped hanging out with your girlfriend to watch a preseason game, but the engagement party, you show up 10 minutes late in the first quarter? It's a bad job.
Not even 10 minutes late.
So anyway, it wasn't a me issue. It was a Sunday Ticket issue. Yeah. Michael David Smith from Pro Football Talk had the same issue. And then at halftime, magically, they fixed the issue.
Oh, yours took till halftime? Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was like 5 minutes.
Now, thankfully, we have the package here.
Right.
But if it rained, I would have been screwed.
Also, I mean, you know people are buying it. Have it ready. Don't blame week one or all week one issues. You know, we're still ironing out the details. Have it ready to go.
And here's, even if, I don't know why, even if I'm in the stadium or near a stadium, why should it matter? I pay for it.
Also very true, right? Unless it's the game you're, like the local game, it's blacked out to watch it on TV.
You shouldn't black out all the games. You're going to black out. Well, the Giant game, not the Giant game, the Jet game was already blacked out because I'm in New York anyway on this thing. Just black out that game, not all the other games.
Right, if you're at the Jets game, why should you not be able to watch a Pats game if you wanted to?
That's going to be problematic, though. I know we may sound old, and ironically, we're both very young. Prime Video.
Amazon?
Yeah, it's going to be a mess tomorrow.
These TVs, they're not smart TVs. That's the issue.
Oh, here.
Yeah. That's a bigger issue than, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stream it. Now, I don't know if I try to use my brother-in-law's account. Can you do two accounts at once? I know for Sunday Ticket, you can't.
You cannot Sunday Ticket. I have no clue with Amazon Prime.
Anyway, top 5 teams in the NFL. Let's go. Number 5. They weren't dominant. They were the better team. They could have been better, but I have high expectations for this team, the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson's going to have a monster here. He had 3 passing touchdowns. Rashad Bateman did find the end zone. Duvernay did get in twice. This was without J.K. Dobbins as well. I put the Baltimore Ravens in at number 5. Number 4, they could improve. Big test tomorrow. Still, even with having to improve, we know how good they can be. They took advantage of the Raiders. I put the Chargers in at 4. 3, this team, I think they're going to the Super Bowl. NFC's up for grabs. Advantage Tom Brady. Offense barely did anything, but that defense showed me that they are Super Bowl championship caliber, and that defense looked like the defense of 2 years ago and not the defense that we saw just projectile vomit, urinate down their leg on that final drive where Matthew Stafford found Cooper Kupp after Brady had the comeback in that divisional round game in last year's playoffs. And at number two, I told you it wasn't going to be long for this team to assert themselves back into the top five. They have gone all the way up to number two. That's the Kansas City Chiefs as they dominated the Arizona Cardinals behind Patrick Mahomes. 5 touchdowns. At number one, the Buffalo Bills. They make you want to shout. They defeat the defending world champions in the Rams' house, which was basically the Bills' house, by 21 points. And Josh Allen is a stud. So those are my top five teams in the NFL. Ravens 5, Chargers 4, Bucks 3. Chiefs 2, and the Buffalo Bills number 1. Hot take, Hickey. Speak now, forever. Hold your peace.
No Seahawks? On a more serious
Pete
note.
Pete Carroll thinks they're number 1.
Pete Carroll.
And he'll use
Super
that
Bowl.
One finger to shove it right at Russell Wilson.
Take this,
finger.
Russ. Doing the Jamar Chase to Minka Fitzpatrick. How about the Eagles? How come they're not in your top 5?
I think the Eagles are going to win the division. I think the Eagles are a heck of a team. The score wasn't as close as it indicated. I just got to see a little bit more from the Eagles against a better opponent. You know, I think they're a good team. I just think the Ravens are better. That's why when I looked at that fifth spot.
Speaking of a good team, good opponent, the Vikings beat a good team and the Packers. How come they're not in the top 5?
That's who I was between, the Ravens and the Vikings. Vikings defense did a heck of a job. A heck of a job. But on paper, I just think the Ravens are better than the Vikings. And if you merge those two teams together, that could be a great team because I would love to see Lamar in Minnesota.
Congrats to the Vikings. First out on the Zach Gelb list.
They were first out.
Ravens last
put,
in?
I almost put the Vikings in there at 5. It's still just a little apprehension with Kirk Cousins. That's what it is. All right, top 5 in college football. I didn't think I was going to fall in love with this team this quickly this year because I was skeptical heading in. And I know it was just Stanford. But they dominated Stanford. Williams to Addison. Touchdown machine. I put the USC Trojans in at number 5. Now, this team, I think it's going to surprise a lot of people that I've bumped them down a few spots. Ohio State's in at 4. Now, I think that Big Ten is clearly coming down between Michigan and Ohio State. I did put Michigan at 3. The reason I moved past Michigan past Ohio State is now J.J. McCarthy's going to be the guy. Stroud's unbelievable. But since Harbaugh is now at least willing for this UConn game, which is not a cupcake, both these teams play cupcakes right now. Since they're at least willing to put McCarthy on the field to start the game for back-to-back weeks, and then Michigan beat Ohio State last year and won the Big Ten, that was the difference on the tiebreaker. Finally, Harbaugh electing to go with J.J. McCarthy. Number 2, Alabama, even after a tough game and a close game and a scare up against Texas, they survived Will Anderson Jr. And you also had Bryce Young step up when needed to. They're still in the 2 spot. And then at number 1, best team in college football so far, the Bulldogs of Georgia. Even with all they lost in the defensive side of the ball, they're still dominant there. And offensively, Stetson Bennett, start put some respect on his name. So my top 5 in college football, USC 5, OSU 4, Michigan 3, Alabama 2, and the Bulldogs from Georgia. And at number 1, hot take, Hickey. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Kentucky last week knocked off the Zach Gelb ranked 5 Florida Gators. Why can't they get in the top 5?
Kentucky is the 3rd best team in the SEC. Love Mark Stoops. Will Levis, friend to show. They're going to destroy Youngstown State this upcoming weekend. That game won't even be close. I just wasn't going to put 3 teams from the SEC in my top 5. Ohio State, Michigan, and then also USC. I just think they have a little bit more pop to those teams.
Finally, how about BYU? The number 9 Baylor, another friend of show, Kalani Sitake. What does Kalani got to do to get in the top 5?
Go undefeated this year. That Baylor game. Blake Chapin. Can you throw the football a little bit? 52 runs they had. What is this? 1948? Now, give credit to BYU. Chase Roberts was excellent. And they were without Puka Nacua. And then also Gunnar Romney. So that's a tough win. Jaren Hall's a good quarterback. I was really disappointed. My takeaway from that game, I was disappointed with Baylor. because that game was there for the taking. BYU is without their two wide receivers, and you lose to them. I know BYU is a heck of a program. They have a game up against Oregon this weekend. It's just, man, 52 times they run the football. That was crazy. At BYU is a good team. I just think if they went up against USC, Michigan, Ohio State, those teams that were like up to grabs, those offenses just could be better than the BYU offense. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We come on back. A lot of quarterbacks in new homes. We review how they did after 1 week and what are our expectations the rest of the way. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio on a Wednesday. Coming on back in 5 minutes.
Chris, pro sandwich artist, amateur spokesperson, rolling.
New Subway delivery. Order only on the Subway app and get special deals. Like $0 delivery fee.
Chris, are you ordering on the Subway app right now?
Maybe?
Ooh, could I get in on that? Eat fresh, refresh. From the top, please. Freshly prepared for your order. Limited time at participating shops. Terms, taxes, and other fees still apply. Cut!